This is VOA News via remote. I'm Liz Pelka. The polls have now closed in the U.S. state of Georgia. Georgia voters have made their voices heard in the critical U.S. Senate races that will decide whether Republicans maintain the balance of power or if it will shift to the Democrats. But we won't know the results just yet. Early ballots, about 3 million of them, were not to be counted until Tuesday, and the public is likely to not know the official winners on election night. Tuesday's voting will help determine President-elect Joe Biden's ability to enact his agenda. At a news conference, Georgia elections official Gabriel Sterling says there have been a handful of issues with voting machines, but not anything to prevent someone from casting their ballot or from their vote being counted. Overall, he said voting had gone smoothly. As people watch what happens in Georgia, a storm brewing in Washington, D.C. Several Republican lawmakers and Trump allies plan to object to electoral college results from multiple key states that determine the November presidential election. Also, pro-Trump protesters are gathering, and the National Guard has been activated while the city prepares for potentially violent protests. Prosecutors in the U.S. state of Wisconsin have cleared a white police officer in the August 23rd shooting of Jacob Blake in the city of Kenosha. Blake, who is Black, was shot four times at close range in an incident that touched off deadly protests in the U.S. Here's Kenosha County District Attorney Michael Gravely.
It is my decision now that I announce today before you that no Kenosha law enforcement officer in this case will be charged with any criminal offense based on the facts and the laws.
This is VOA News. January is off to a grim start around the globe as the coronavirus surges, even amid growing access to vaccines. AP Washington correspondent Sagar Magani reports.
This virus has been ahead of us every step of the way.
New York Governor Andrew Cuomo says the nation continues playing catch-up. In California, just 1% of residents have been vaccinated as states struggle to get enough doses. Doctors in the U.S. and across the world are bracing for a flood of cases after the holidays as more nations face a more contagious variant. The virus has killed more than 350,000 people in America, 1.85 million worldwide. South African undertakers say they've run out of coffins. In Europe, England and other countries are locked down. And in Asia, even nations that were pandemic success stories are seeing waves of infections from Thailand to Japan, which is getting ready to declare a state of emergency. Sagar Magani, Washington.
The U.S. Treasury Department announced sanctions against entities and individuals associated with Iran's steel industry on Tuesday. It's the latest move in a U.S. pressure campaign against Tehran in the final days of President Trump's presidency. The Treasury said in a statement that it blacklisted more than a dozen entities and one person. The sanctions were imposed on the Chinese-owned Kaifeng Pingmei New Carbon Materials Technology Company Limited. Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin said the administration remains committed to denying revenue flowing to the Iranian regime as it continues to sponsor terrorist groups, support oppressive regimes, and seek weapons of mass destruction. Iran's steel sector is a major source of revenue for the Iranian government. In a new embrace of Qatar's ruler, Saudi Arabia's Crown Prince pushed a deal to end a row with Doha at a Gulf summit Tuesday. The summit was to try to strengthen an Arab alliance against Iran, although the final declaration contained only a general pledge of solidarity. The kingdom's foreign minister said Riyadh and its Arab allies agreed to restore ties with Doha to end a boycott imposed in mid-2017. The deal was mediated by Washington and Kuwait, and a United Arab Emirates official suggested it would take time. While the communique contained no detailed confirmation of a deal, the apparent breakthrough signaled hope for a mending rift between the two major U.S. allies. Ahead of the gathering in the historic city of Al Ula, also attended by White House senior advisor Jared Kushner, Kuwait said Saudi Arabia would reopen its airspace and borders to Qatar. Via remote.